Okay, we're going to turn our attention to a different subject. And I've been mulling this over for quite a bit. The thing is, it's devotion. I wanted to talk about devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one reason we sang the song, Take Up Your Cross and Follow Him. And He said that in the scriptures. He said, take up thy cross and follow Me. And the thing is, we have to think about, well, what does that mean practically? We say the words, it rolls right off the tongue, and it sounds good and everything, but how do we do it? So, first thing I want to do is go to our main scripture. And if I go too fast, slow me down. But the thing is, Matthew 6:33, he says here, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, in context, what that means is he was talking about don't worry for your clothing, for your food, and all these other things. Don't worry for the material stuff. He said, you have one goal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, we have a thing that where we get distracted. Okay, so we get distracted and we end up not really seeking God as hard as we should. I don't know if you heard Pastor Eddie this morning when he was talking about, he was quoting some scripture from Psalms where David said, "My I'm following hard after you and my heart panteth like a, or I don't know if you know what a hart is in the Bible, but it's a deer. After, like, at for the water, at the water brooks. And the thing is, this is our goal. This is our goal. We want to seek first the one who matters most. Stop and think about that a moment. Jesus Christ in our life matters the most. He even said in one place, and I know I'm not going to quote it exactly right, but he said, he who loves mother and father more than me is not worthy of me. Basically, it doesn't mean that you hate your mother and father, but no, you love Jesus more. Because families, at one place he said, families will be against each other. So the thing is, I want everyone to be devoted to Jesus, including myself. So what does it mean to be devoted to Jesus? What do you have to do? Well, when Jesus was resurrected, or he resurrected, and later ascended, the followers did something. What did they do? It says here, and they continued steadfastly, and that word steadfastly means devoted. In other words, they devoted themselves in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So you can see some aspects of what it means to be devoted to Jesus Christ. So first of all, you want sound doctrine. You need fellowship. I don't know about you, but I can't make it on my own. And I'm not talking about just the Holy Spirit. I sometimes need to hear like testimonies like you had, Lucille, because that gives me faith. That gives me faith to believe that all things are possible. And so when I hear all these different testimonies, and I'm looking forward to a lot more. So I like the fellowship, and then, of course, the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, the breaking of bread is usually either just having a meal with somebody or communion. Not sure what he means in this case, but the fact is that's what they were doing. And this too, and fear came upon every soul. Sometimes we don't have a healthy fear of God. We need to reverence God, okay? Now, we don't mean to fear Him in such a way like if you step out of line that He's going to zap you and all of a sudden a lightning bolt is going to come down and just obliterate you. No, we need to fear the Lord. I'll tell you what I fear the most, and that's for Him to take His hand off of me. It's a fearful thing, I think David said, to fall in the hands of an angry God. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want his punishment. I don't want his chastisement. I want to be devoted to Jesus Christ and have a reverential fear about him. And when that occurred, look at this. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Lest you think only the apostles had that ability, I can tell you when they selected seven deacons to basically take care of serving tables, that's what they called it. Stephen was one of them, but there were six others, and they healed people. Stephen went around preaching and healing, and he was a deacon. That's what we can call him. He was one of the first deacons. And the thing is, he was healing just as the apostles were doing it. And so they were devoted because it meant it was an ongoing thing. It was a continual thing. So if you want to imagine, well, what would a scripture look like if it was written in the MCV version? That's called the modern Christian version. That doesn't exist, by the way. It's how we might would say it. Okay, I didn't put it up here on screen, but it says here, they devoted themselves to themselves. In other words, they were self-centered. They continually and passionately pursued a self-centered life of comfort and ease. That's the modern Christian version. And that's what people are doing today. They're pursuing whatever is easier, okay? That's a whole lot different than taking up your cross and follow Jesus, because if you're just trying to look for the easy way, easy route, I'm sorry. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, he said, ye shall suffer persecution. Now, I'm not talking about like maybe right now this minute, but if you don't ever suffer any persecution whatsoever, you may not be following as hard after Jesus Christ as you think. I wasn't. And so for the modern Christian, what do? They just want to be liked. They want to be comfortable. They want to be popular. Okay. They want to finish school. Okay. Find love. I look at Michael, my grandson. He's the oldest. 15, 16. He'll be 16, I think, this July. 17? Okay, see, I'm so far behind. He'll be 17. But he's going through this stage. He's got a girlfriend, a very pretty girlfriend, and he's just head over heels for her. And, you know, everything revolves around her. And I understand that. The thing is, Paul even talked about that. He talked about where some people they want to please their husband or want to please their wife, you know, more than the Lord. And so that's where they get distracted. But somehow we have to be able to devote ourselves to Christ. And so, yes, they want to find love. People want to marry, want to have a nice house, maybe even travel, and then, of course, go to heaven. We all want to do all that. So I came up with a couple of illustrations. Actually, it wasn't my idea, but this piece of paper, which I knelt down and hurt my knee to make, Dronda was helping me, by the way, represents, it's actually to scale, but it represents 168 hours in a week. Okay, 168 hours in a week. If you take out one third of that for sleeping, so now you're left with this. Don't ask me to calculate how much one third of 168 is. But what if you now take out work, school, whatever else job you do? So there's that. All right, so now you're left over with this amount. But then you've got all kinds of other things. I mean, for example, if you were to take out all the time it takes for the time you spend on social media, do you realize some people spend sometimes a minimum of 2 hours on social media? I find myself sometimes looking for things that does that. I mean, once you start reading certain social media channels, it's hard to get off. Facebook, Instagram. Does anybody do TikTok here? I don't know. I don't. I'm not allowed, by the way, on my phone. It's a Chinese app, so I'm not allowed to install TikTok on it because it's a work phone, sensitive information on it. But anyway, if you add in all that time, well, then you, and so your commute part, so now we're down to this. So we're taking out all these hours. Actually, it includes this much too. So I'm down to this. Out of 168 hours, we have a lot of hours being taken up of different things. Okay? So we're not really, but then you have to like drive the kids, take care of kids, or whatever it is. You've got other things that you're doing. And believe it or not, it takes up this about this many hours. And what do you think? Oh, so close. What do you think this one strip of paper represents?
Free time.
What's that?
Free time.
Well, it could be. But it's time with God. Time with God. So, of all this mess I just made, just to show you that this is what we have left over for church and church things, which is not much time in the grand scheme of things. You saw how long the paper was, and now it's down to that. So what are we going to do about it? Well, first of all, if you invest, let's say it's 1 hour, maybe it represents 2 hours. If you only invest 1 hour or 2 hours of devotion to God, whatever that might look like for you, but if you only invest that much, you're not going to grow. You're not going to, it's every inclination that you're going to fall back into some old type of sin. You're not going to share your faith much. You may not care for people and their problems as much as we should. And we're going to find ourselves becoming lukewarm. And if you read the book of Revelations, what happened to lukewarm Christians? Spew you out of my mouth. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, okay? Because that's a takeoff of the springs that they would have. It would start out nice and cold, and then sometimes when it would get to where it was going, it would be lukewarm. And a lot of people don't like lukewarm coffee, lukewarm anything. You know, it's got to be hot or cold. When I actually visited in Massachusetts for a job-related event, we were up there, and it was really odd. I asked for hot tea. Hot tea. They didn't know what I meant. They only made cold tea. Never hot. It was always cold. And they asked me in the restaurant, and of course there was a bunch of people around me, they said, why do you need it hot? And I was like, because I like hot tea. But anyway, I had to compromise and take their cold tea because that's all they had. But the point is, we got to be one way or the other. We got to be hot or cold, not lukewarm, and toward Jesus. And so this thing about devotion is we got to be able to have a plan to follow hard after Jesus. Now the plan is going to look different for me than it might for you. But regardless, it's a plan that we got to put together. All right, so if we want to have full devotion to Jesus Christ, it's not going to happen accidentally. It's not going to happen accidentally. So we got to pre-decide. We got to pre-decide that, hey, I'm going to intentionally follow hard after Jesus. I want to get a single mind in pursuit of him. So how are we going to do this? And I know everybody's been wondering about this stick. What's he got a stick up here for, especially an old one? Well, there's a really nice scripture that we really ought to memorize. But in John 15:5, the Lord said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And especially that last part, "For without me, ye can do nothing." Let's all read that together. "For without me, ye can do nothing." So your job is to be the branch. Be the branch. Now, there's another scripture. Because once we start being the branch and we are abiding in Jesus Christ, then we are part of something special. Okay? Part of something special. We're not just doing everything under our own power, because we're going to fail if we do. We're going to do everything under our own power. We're going to fail. But if we stay with him, then it's going to be something that matters, and it'll be something that lasts. Okay? So be the branch. And I'm actually taking these scriptures out of order, but notice the key word in this next verse. It actually is before this one, but I wanted to do this one first so I could raise my stick. And so anyway, so this one here says, and you should be able to get the key word very quickly here, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine." And by the way, that word "abide" means remain. We need to stick with Jesus. We need to stay with Jesus. It's a matter of devotion. It says, "No more can ye except ye abide in me." So if you're not being the branch and you're just set aside somewhere, guess what? You're now separated yourself from Jesus. You're no longer abiding in him. You may be going through the motions of devotions and whatnot. And yes, you may be giving your 1 hour or two to the Lord, but, and that's it. Be the branch. You have to stay with Jesus. And I know some people in here may be thinking, well, Earl, that's just common knowledge. It may be, but we get distracted. We live in a world full of distractions. How do I know that? We got people who get sick. We got family members who get sick. We lose family members, and we got all these things that just is surrounding us, and sometimes it's overwhelming. I don't know about you, but I get overwhelmed all day long. I was concerned, and my thoughts were gravitating to, and here I am preparing for this sermon, and my thoughts were gravitating for how Dorinda's doing. And the fact that she's fallen, I'm not there to see how she's doing. I'm just can only rely on the text messages I get. And so here I am, not, I don't want to say I'm worrying myself, but I'm very concerned about her. And I just know that she's going to be sore because she fell this morning. And it breaks my heart. And lots of things. I mean, when I heard about that young 17-year-old that passed away today, it broke my heart. And folks, I'm having difficulty dealing with it. And so the thing is, my mind is getting distracted. And so we need to be the branch. We need to pre-decide that, hey, I'm going to be devoted to Jesus Christ and I'm going to follow hard after him. So we're going to need because he's the one who matters the most. He's the one who matters the most in our lives. But the thing is, how do we do it? How do we do it? How are we going to start? All right. So let's talk about this. First of all, you need to pre-decide a time. Set aside some time. For some of us, that's hard to do. For me, My time is usually late in the evening, because from early morning till late in the evening, I've got kids running around, I've got all kinds of activity going on, to where it's just, sometimes it's a madhouse. And we have friends of our grandkids that come and visit sometimes, and all kinds of things. And so my time for devotion is usually more toward the evenings. We just recently have started, probably this week, at the beginning of the week, started taking communion as a family. And the exciting part is the family, I don't have to go ask them. They come and ask me, are we doing communion tonight? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. I said, if you're ready, we'll go now. And everybody's like, yay. And so, you know, and little Allison, God bless her, because every time I ask someone to explain why we do communion, she's like this. She wants to tell it. And I said, well, one night I had to tell her, I said, let's let Caleb do it, okay? Let's let him do it. And that's kind of made him a little nervous, because, you know, put him on the spot right there. But he told it, and he gave the reason. But Allison likes to tell it, so I let her do it. And she gets it right. She's understanding why we do communion. And the good news is, what I'm hoping to teach her is that to follow hard after Christ. Communion is just one illustration I'm using to help them to understand what Jesus did for us. And once they grasp that, what Christ has done for us, as ugly as sinners as we were, He died for us while we were still sinners. And that's the thing that I can't fathom it. I really can't. I mean, because the Lord gave Himself for, and I know we sing Amazing Grace sometimes, a wretch like me. And so all I want to do is like that song, and I'm glad you picked it, Ron, because that song has the line in it, how can I give a lesser sacrifice when Jesus paid it all? So, to follow after Jesus, to be devoted to Jesus, it's not really a sacrifice, but it kind of is. I'm giving time to Him. So for some of you, it might be you have to do it before the kids get up in the morning, or you know, you might have to go outside. Several times I go outside, even in the wintertime. I'll bundle up and I'll go out there, and I want to spend some prayer time with the Lord. And by the way, let me just say this in passing. Prayer time doesn't always mean you do all the talking. You ever thought about that? You don't have to do all the talking. Just like Samuel. Samuel said, because he kept thinking Eli was calling him, and finally Eli had a thought. You know, he said, you know, it may be the Lord talking to you. And so Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant listens. And the Lord started talking to Samuel when he was a wee little boy. And so the thing is, that's when you designate a time, you designate a place. Where are you going to follow hard after Jesus? Now, it's not ideal, but sometimes you can only get private time is when you're driving. Okay, so driving to and from work, I either like to turn on a sermon or worship music and just praise the Lord in the car. And that whole time, people probably think I'm nuts, because, you know, I'll be driving down the road. I don't know if anybody else does this, but I'll be doing like this, you know, and people's like waving back at me. Okay, I'm just waving my hand. Of course, you got to drive, so I got one hand here and I'm praising the Lord, and people see you, and I don't see them as much as they see me, and they wave back. But, you know, find a place, a chair, a back porch, on your commute, whatever you got to do. Find a place, find a time, okay? Last thing here is pre-decide a plan. How are you going to do it? What are you going to, are you going to pick a chapter, say from, I think it was Billy Graham's wife who did this, but she liked to do her devotions from the Psalms. And I have found that is a good place to start. The Psalms. And I don't know if you realize this, but Psalms is similar to a song. They were meant to be sung in the temple. And some of the songs were called songs of ascent. And what that meant was when you were going up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was on top of a mountain, you sang particular songs. And as you were singing, you were approaching the actual temple. So the songs would be sung over and over sometimes. But all, you know, can you imagine all the voices singing songs of ascent as they go into church? People, you know, if you come into church here, you know, you put on your worship music and you're just singing your heart out and worshiping God and all of that stuff. So the plan might be to do devotions in Scripture, to read multiple chapters, or it might be simply to just sit there and pray over a list, you know, of people that you know need to have prayer. I mean, it can take all kinds of forms here. And it doesn't have to be the same thing every day. You can mix and match it up to where you can do different kinds of devotions to the Lord. But it's a plan that you have to decide in advance. You have to decide in advance. You're not gonna be devoted to the Lord accidentally. It won't happen. You have to do it intentionally. So you pre-decide a time, pre-decide a place, and pre-decide a plan. Okay, and now you're going to find yourself, hopefully, you're going to find yourself in a continual conversation with God. You know the scripture where it said, pray without ceasing? That used to baffle me. I was always baffled by that scripture. How do you pray without ceasing? I mean, don't you have to stop and answer email and all this other kind of stuff every once in a while? Well, basically what Paul is talking about is have this continual conversation. Yeah, all through the day. Not just in your devotion time. Not just at church. Please, if you wait till you get to church to pray, you're missing the point. You need to pray outside the church. And you need to pray over yourself and others outside this church. And when you get here, you are prepared. You have prepared your mind, your body, and spirit to worship the Lord. And so this is the thing. And so we're not giving God what's left over of our time, as I made a mess here with this paper string that represents a week. We're giving God all of our time throughout the day, every day. And so if you pre-decide these things, then you're going to be pre-decide to be devoted to Christ, and it's going to impact every part of your life. Hopefully it's going to make you more loving. You'll make better decisions. Why? Because this is one thing when I was young, I failed at miserably. But I'd make decisions, life-changing decisions, without even praying about it first. That's bad. And I chastise myself for it, because you should always pray before you make a life-changing decision, whether to buy that car, buy that house, or to invest in this or that. I mean, ask God for what you should do. I mean, ask for His opinion. And you might say, well, God doesn't speak to me. Maybe He does and you're not listening. God might interject thoughts. He may speak to you audibly. He could speak to you through His word. But in any event, He will speak to you. I'm convinced of that. So you got to pre-decide to do all of that. So we're seeking the one who matters the most. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Okay, and then all these other things will be added to you. So that's the thing. And the moment you decide that you are really going to seek hard after Christ, you're going to find out that you're going to get opposition real quick. Things will start popping up that maybe hadn't popped up before that's going to try to distract you. But if it does, don't quit, because it'll want to give you a reason to quit, but don't quit. Why? Because you're pre-decided that I am devoted to Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to let anything get in my way of that devotion. Yes, I understand emergencies crop up, just like my wife fell this morning. I mean, that was something totally unexpected, but we had to deal with it, okay? But that doesn't mean, in fact, that makes me pray more. It makes me pray more because I had the initial thoughts, as some of you may have, maybe there's something going on either through her medications or something else, because this makes twice in 1 week. But the fact is, I really do think it was just accidents. And the thing is, you got to take care of those things in spite of that. So they're not distractions, really. I mean, I'm taking care of my family, but we're praying for her. So keep in mind that we can't think that this is not an important thing. It is probably one of the most important things in your life. Let's not find excuses. Let's find solutions, okay? Let's find a way, because Jesus is the vine, we are the branch, and be the branch. Be the branch. Abide in him and remain in him. And so I will seek first the one who matters most. Why? Because I'm devoted to Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you take these words and that you will apply them to each of us, myself included. Lord, apply them to our hearts and minds, and help us, Lord, to follow hard after you, to take up our cross and to follow you. Lord, help us to get past these distractions in our life, and so that we can live a life that is in a continual conversation with you. It's not just a once in a while thing. It's a continual conversation. And by the way, you would be our first. We turn to you first whenever we have a need, whether it be wisdom for health or for prayer for other people. We turn to you first and not other people. So Lord, help us to become more devoted, and so that we will be totally devoted to you. For I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.